Let us hear them, or go to prayer together. We thank you, our Father, for an opportunity to be exposed to your word. May your Holy Spirit firmly remind us that only your word is the word. Open our hearts that we may hear. Open our minds that we may understand. And restrain my mouth that it will be beneficial to that cause. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to thank you for dressing this morning. And ask you a question or two. Why did you put on what you put on this morning? I thought up some reasons. It could be it's all you had. Now, for most of us, that's not true, though I have found a curse among one of the genders that they can have a closet full and look at it and say they have nothing to wear. So maybe you wore what you wore because you have nothing to wear. Maybe you wore what you wore because you just bought it and wanted to wear it. Maybe you wore what you wore because of tradition and you just do it each time. Maybe for function. Maybe you're going to a picnic afterwards. So maybe it's a role, like I'm wear what I wear. Maybe you wear what you wear because your spouse told you to, or your parents told you to, or like me, maybe sometimes you wore what you wore because it was the only pair of pants that fit. But we can tell a lot by what people wear, can't we? We can tell a lot. Now, in our culture, it's been sort of lessened in the significance. This sermon would have preached with more acuity several decades ago, but it used to be you could walk into to a hospital, and you could tell the players by what they wore. Now everyone seems to just want to wear scrubs. But it used to be you could tell. You can go into a community, and you can tell by who people are by what they wear. I'm going to run a rabbit that right now intentionally. And we're going to connect it. And I wouldn't be telling this to everyone, but you're smarter than most. So put your thinking cap on, because I'm going to say something. If you misunderstand what I say, you'll not appreciate what I say. Are we a cult? Technically speaking, we are a cult. A cult, hear me correctly, not the way it's used. Technically speaking, a cult is a word that means to pay homage and cultivate one's life around a particular God. Do we do that? Sure. It's interesting, the word quickly got adapted in the 17th century to speak of farmers. Because what did farmers do to the soil? They prepare it. They cultivate it. Same word. They work it. They till it up for a particular goal. And from the cult, people begin to have a culture. You ever heard of culture? It's just the playing out of a cult. Now, it fell into disuse. It wasn't used, but in the late 19th century, it started being used again. And that's what we normally think of in a cult, is someone who has unorthodox or weird practices. As one guy said, one way in 1993 said, a cult is an organized group of people, religious or not, with whom you disagree. So if you agree with them, it's not a cult. If you disagree with them, because there are people that would see the entirety of Christianity as cultist, correct? They're right. In the sense that we have devoted ourselves to a particular God. And we have cultivated our life toward that God. And there's a subsequent culture that flows from that. Now you guys understand what I'm saying, right? We're not a cult in the way we understand it. But we have a culture. Let's get back to clothes. But I'm not going to get too far away from the cult. If I went this coming Thanksgiving to Dallas, I think it's November the 22nd, And in Dallas on November the 22nd, there is a group called the Dallas Cowboys that are playing a group called the Washington Redskins. I think it's fair to say that they have cult followings, don't you think? People that like a particular team are cultish toward that. They've devoted themselves toward that. If you are a Seminole, you're not a Gator. And if you're a Gator, you're right, or whatever. You're not a Seminole. It's a cult following. Now, let me ask you. If I show up at that game, and I walk into the stadium in Dallas, whatever it's called, and I walk into that stadium, will I be able to tell which participants or congregants, what do you call, not congregants, what do you call people that go to?
Fanatics.
People in the stand. Will I be able to tell which one follow which cult? Yes. Now, some of us are smart enough not to put ourselves in a hostile environment, so we're going to wear beige or something neutral. But for those that are really dedicated to following their cult, it's going to show in their culture. And how will I know who's pulling for Dallas? They'll be wearing blue and silver stars. It shows in their clothing. That's how we can tell, by what they're wearing. In the same way, Paul uses this to speak of two different cultures, two different sets of garments in this passage. Let me go through it quickly, and then I'm going to give a couple warnings that I think we need to bring. If you begin with me in verse 25, he talks about five different garments that we need to take off. We don't want to wear these clothing. The garment of lying, that intentional desire to mislead someone for your own gain. We need to take off the argument of anger. And let me say that word, be angry, the way it is in our translation, it really is not an imperative. It's not telling you to go out and be angry. It's saying when you are angry, be restrained in it. Don't let it go on forever. Anger is a terrible problem. I did a research this past week, and in Amazon.com, there are more than 40,000 books available. 40,000 different books available studying from a religious perspective the problem of anger. We live in an angry world, don't we? And it's a clothing, when we see it, it lets us know the team being pulled for. Paul says, put this garment off. Lying and anger. In verse 28, we put off the garment of stealing. You know that Greek word. It's the Greek word klepto, which we get the word kleptomaniac. We put that off. We're honest people. We work hard so we can contribute to others. We take that garment off. In verse 29 and 30, we take off the garment of gossip. That rotten communication that doesn't build up, but it rather tears down others. Verses 31 and 32, we take off that garment of unkindness. It's a bitterness that leads to slander. But we're not going to be naked, so he tells us to put these off, but then he tells us what garments to put on. And here's what we should wear. We're to put on this new self he talks about in verse 23. Or let's look at 22. So put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner or cultivation of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit, and put on the new self that looks like God, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And this new garment that looks like God is spirit-filled, is kind, and is loving. When you think of someone, a human being, who is spirit-filled, kind, and loving, which human being do you think comes to mind as being the most spirit-filled and the most kind and the most loving person that's ever lived? Jesus Christ. God incarnated. And what Paul is saying, when you wear these garments, you are continuing the incarnation. as God came to earth in the first century through Jesus Christ, how does God go to your place of employment tomorrow morning? Have any of you at work ever seen God show up? How does God get, just ask this practical, how does God get to the meeting you're going to go to tomorrow night? How does God get to your office? How does God get to your community? How does God get where you go? Do you believe He just sort of shows up again in a form like Jesus? Well, in a way, Paul would say He shows up in you. As you put on this garment, people will look and say, oh, they don't pull for this team, they pull for this team. Look at the clothing they're wearing. Look at the culture. It's a culture not of perfection and judgment. It's one of spirit-filledness and love and kindness. Have you ever gotten unkind with someone? A clerk? A customer? Someone in line? Someone who got to that item in the shopping center before you and there's only one left and you saw it first? Have you ever been unkind with anyone, maybe a driver on the road, and then responded in a way and then your immediate thought was, I sure hope they know I'm not a Christian? You ever had that thought? Of course you have, because you're like me and you're like all of us, and we're sort of caught. We were in one set of clothing because we had one God we were serving, namely ourselves, and we have been redeemed in another. So let me give you three warnings, or three truths that we need to say. The first thing I want to say is that these garments, these two sets of clothing, are descriptive, not prescriptive. Now let me quickly tell you what that means. And it's so much grace here. Paul is not telling us what we are to do. Paul is simply telling us what will be. If a bowling ball was on top of this roof and someone was going to push it, and I say, if that is pushed, that bowling ball will fall. Am I commanding the bowling ball to do it? No, I'm just describing what will happen. And what Jesus or Paul is doing, and the Scriptures so often do, they're not telling us to go out and grunt this out. It's simply saying, when you've got a new center of reference, when you've got a new God you're dedicating and cultivating your life toward, you're going to have a new culture. So we don't go out with these items as like a checklist that we work on. We go out focusing on Jesus Christ and just trust that as we focus upon Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will make this description true. Going back to the football game. Those that are at that Thanksgiving game wearing redskin attire, are they doing that because they were told to do that? When you become a fan, do they tell you, put bumper stickers on your car and put flags on your thing and wear spongy looking cheese heads? I'm going to try to hit every fan here. I mean, have any of you fans ever been instructed, you must wear a uniform or you're not as good a fan as I am? No, we don't have to. Do you understand why? We understand this in one realm, but when it comes to the realm of our walk with Christ and the Spirit, we somehow forget it. When you are a fan, when you are cultivating toward one person, Jesus Christ, this isn't a prescription. It just describes what's going to happen. Second warning I want to say is that dressing is a process, not an event. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just brush our teeth one time and never have to do it again? Maybe I've got too much time on my hands, but twice a day, sometimes three, I take this little thing in my hand, and I mean, I've done it long enough that I could do it without thinking about it, but I still think about it, and sometimes it's like, you know, I'm going to be doing this until a day I die. Why can't somebody just come up with a way where I could brush my teeth one time and be done with it? Well, it's a process. It's not an event. See, we would like for our spirituality and our walk with Christ to be an event. We just pray hard enough and this spirit will come upon us and all these bad spirits will go away and we will just walk in total bliss. It's a process. It begins at baptism. It refers here where we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. I've described it for some of you before in classes, but I want to explain to you how they did baptism in the first century. In the first century, you go back and read in the Didache and other places, you can see that what they would do is they would take a group of converts and their children, their family, bring them once converted to Christ to one side of a riverbank. The Didache says that you have to be baptized in running water and it needs to be as cold as it can, because when they didn't care about warm water like most baptistries today, they wanted it to be a real shock when you entered it. And you would stand on one side dressed just like you were dressed. All of those ways we talked about that speak of our status, speak of our function, speak of our role, speak of our ability to purchase. We show up dressed like we are. And before we could enter the waters of baptism, guess what we had to do? Strip. We had to leave that behind. We had to drop all of those things that we put importance and status in. We had to leave all those things that we feel shameful about because they're not as new and beautiful as others. We drop it all. You enter into those waters of baptism naked. You enter into the waters of baptism naked. You're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then you leave on the other side and you go around and pick up your clothes and put them back on. Is that what they did? No, you left those clothes. And guess what they put on? A pure white robe. And every one of us now, we're not individuals, we're all together clothed in the beautiful whiteness of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful picture. And wouldn't it be great to think that we put that white robe on at baptism and it never gets sullied for the rest of our life? We just walk with a spiritual bubble around us. That would be nice. But it's not true. As it says here, we learn what we're wearing. We are renewed daily. Our cup doesn't stay filled. We have to keep asking God, fill my cup. Overflow me with the things of the Spirit. Renew me again. It's a process. The good news in that is you can always go forward. It's never too late. I've had many people tell me that they wish they had come to Christ earlier in life. Some of you may feel that way. That you wish you had come to Christ earlier in life. After 34 years of pastoring, I've yet to have a person say to me at their death, you know what, I wish I had put off coming to Christ until the end. I've never heard anyone say that. See, it's never too late to draw closer to Christ. And the third thing I want to say is these garments that we are dressed in are a gift. They're not a wage. In that parable that Jesus talked about the wedding feast, everyone was invited, but you had to be in the wedding garment, but the master of the wedding provided the garment. You didn't have to go out and buy your own garment. In fact, you can't go out and buy your own garment. Paul says in Galatians 3, you foolish Galatians, having begun by the Spirit, do you think you're living the Christian life through your own flesh? We understand that salvation is a gift. We need to understand that sanctification and growth is a gift. All that we have is a gift from the Spirit. See, God's in the clothing business. In the garden, He clothed Adam and Eve with the skin of the lamb. Through our lives, He clothes us through Jesus Christ. And one day when we leave this bodysuit, He's going to clothe us in the full righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's our hope. That's the team we're on. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if you believe with me, I would ask you to stand and let us confess our faith together with the Apostles' Creed. You can find it in the insert of your hymnal. But let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That is the team we are on, brothers and sisters. We gather as one to this table. You may be seated.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of the living and the dead, it is our joy to give you thanks and praise. Because though we are your rebellious creation, you love us and go to every length to bring us home to you. As your servant David's son, Absalom, was left hanging between heaven and earth, your son Jesus hung on the cross for our salvation. As a young man struck David's son and killed him, so Jesus, the son of David, had a spear thrust into his side. And as David cried, "Would that I had died instead of you," we recall that in Christ you did die instead of us, your wayward children. And so with humble, thankful hearts, we join the angels and the archangels to sing the hymn of your endless glory.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
True and living God, in Christ you sent us the bread that comes down from heaven, and you promise that whoever eats of this bread will live forever. Sanctify your people, that they may be marked with the seal for the day of redemption and be raised up on the last day. Send your Holy Spirit on this bread and on this cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
Faithful God, you call us to imitate you. In truth, telling, honesty, grace, kindness, forgiveness, and tender love, show your people when to be angry and how not to let the sun go down on their anger. Come among any who are entangled in bitterness and wrath, and wrangling and malice and slander. Bring healing to all who are estranged from a family member, or one to whom they were once bound in love. Build up those who are cast down by harshness or cruelty or violence. Usher every willing heart into the banquet of your kingdom, that all your creation may share the wonder of your mercy. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.